We're going to discuss the concept of a heter iska. Virtually everyone is somewhat familiar with the concept. They've heard of it. They know that when they're dealing, borrowing, lending to another Jew, you write a heter iska, and somehow everything's okay. What I'd like to do today is to go through the concept to explain what a heter iska is, how it works, and what its limitations are. Now, it's important to realize that, especially in Hilchos Ribbis, if before you enter into a transaction, you're aware of the issues, you're aware of the problem, and you make an effort to ask the question, to ask a shaila, sit down with a rav, and try, you can virtually always structure a transaction in a way that will be permissible al pi halacha. Whether it's a heter iska, whether there'll be other alternatives, there is practically always a workaround and a way to avoid the isurim. It sometimes requires some effort. You'll have to be willing to invest the time, to be a bit flexible. But at the end of the day, if the parties are both interested and they deal with it in advance, it can virtually always work out. I oversee the Ribbis issues on a particular hedge fund. They've been involved with literally hundreds of millions of dollars of transactions. And ultimately, they were able to work out every deal al pi halacha. They didn't have to walk away and simply avoid any of the deals. But it takes a certain investment. You have to care. You have to put in the time. You have to put in the effort. And you have to be in contact with a rav, with a meir ha'ira, who you're able to talk to and you're able to get guidance from on each particular deal. Now, let's begin. What is a heter iska? So to begin, I would like to say what it's not. Because Moshe explains, a heter iska is not a kameya. It's not some sort of amulet. It's not some sort of magical document that you hang up on the wall in your office and suddenly Hilchos Ribbis do not apply. What a heter iska does is it restructures the transaction that it's no longer a loan. It's a partnership. And therefore, because it's not a loan, it is not subject to the Isurim of Ribbis. So let's explain. We all know that if I want to go to a friend and borrow money, I can't pay him interest. If I borrow $1,000, I can return $1,000. Anything above that is going to be Isur, is going to be Ribbis. On the other hand, let's say my friend wants to start a business. And I tell him, okay, listen, it costs you $10,000 to start the business. I'm going to give you $5,000, and I'm entitled to half the profits. That is absolutely no Ribbis problem. It's not a loan. It's an investment. I'm not receiving interest. I'm receiving profits. Profits that my investment generated. What's the difference between the two? The difference between the two is liability. When I lend someone money, he's got to pay it back no matter what. If he goes ahead and takes the $5,000 that I lent him and starts a business, and the business goes bad, he still owes me that $5,000. He may never pay it back to me. He may go bankrupt. There's always a certain risk of default. But that means he is not honoring his responsibilities. He's defaulting on his obligations. But it's a loan, and in such a case, any extra return would be considered interest and would be awesome. In contrast, when there's a real investment, when there's a real partnership, there's a level of risk. If I give my friend $5,000 to start a business, and a year later, the business is only worth half of what it originally was, there were no profits, I'm only going to recover $2,500. My friend didn't default. He ran the business on behalf of both of us. If the business earns profits, we both share the profits. If there's a loss, I'm going to suffer that loss. That's not a default. That's a business risk. Simply the partnership went down in value, and that would not have an Isser of Ribbis. What a heter iska does is it takes two parties who are interested in lending or borrowing money, and it creates a partnership that in virtually all circumstances will behave like a loan. It's technically a partnership, not just technically, it is a partnership, but we put in certain safeguards that virtually guarantee the lender will get back his principal plus the agreed upon ribis amount. Now the way we accomplish this is as follows. The money that's being advanced with an ISCA is not being lent, it's being invested. The ISCA's on $10,000, you're not borrowing $10,000, you're receiving $10,000, which you're creating an ISCA partnership. Now, as a partner, the investor is entitled to half of the profits and half of the losses that this money produces. So if it doubles in value, the investor will get half of the profits. If it halves in value, the investor will suffer half of the losses. Now, obviously, that's not what the parties want. You went to a bank, a Jewish bank, you want to borrow money at 6%. You don't want to share and give away half the profits. The investor also, he doesn't want to suffer the losses. So we put in the following safeguards. In every partnership, if I invest money in a company, and at the end of the year the company comes back and says, we're very sorry, the business didn't do well, we lost all of your money. Goodbye. So what are you going to do? You're not going to just take that sitting down. You're going to say, let me see. Show me the books. I want to send in a forensic accountant. I want to review the books. You want to make sure that the business was managed correctly, that there truly was a loss, and everything is legit. If it's proven there's a loss, as an investor, you're not going to recover anything. But you have the right to demand verification. You have the right to demand that the managing partner establish and verify exactly what happened to the money. A heter iska is a partnership where there's a very high burden on the recipient, the person taking the money, the borrower, if you will. There's a very high burden on him to establish what happened to the investment. If he claims he lost the money or any portion of it, he has to bring two kosher witnesses that can testify exactly what happened. Now that's very challenging. It means you need two Jewish males who are not related to you, they're not negev adover, they don't have a vested interest, that are able to really account for every dime they were on top of every single aspect of the business. If that happens, if the recipient, if the person who borrows the money with the heter iska loses it and is able to bring the two witnesses to Beis Din and to establish that it really was lost, the investor, the lender, will lose half of his money. And that risk is there by every heter iska. There are certain ways to mitigate it slightly, but that risk has to be there. If you eliminate that risk completely, then in halacha it will be considered a loan and we'll be back to an issur of ribis. But again, to review, when I borrow money with an iska, I'm actually investing it on behalf of the lender. There's a partnership. If I can bring two witnesses, there is a loss. The lender will suffer that loss. Now, let's say I don't claim there's a loss, but I claim there are no profits. There are no profits generated. So I'll give you back the principal, but not a penny extra. So here, for technical reasons, the borrower, the manager, doesn't have to bring witnesses, but he would have to make an oath. He would have to come in front of a Beis Din and make a shvuah chamura. He would have to make an oath that there were no profits earned. Now, neither of these options are very practical. To bring witnesses is extremely difficult because, again, they need to be two kosher witnesses that really have first-hand knowledge of exactly what happened. Making an oath is something which halacha treats very severely, and people are generally not willing to come to Beis Din to make a shvuah, to make an oath, as far as the profits. We turn to the borrower and we say, we'll give you another option. If you can't bring witnesses and choose not to make an oath, we'll give you another way out. Return the principal plus X percent, whatever the interest rate was supposed to be. Give that to the investor, and then you're buying out your responsibilities to him. You don't have to make an oath. You don't have to bring witnesses. If there are extra profits, they're all yours. You get to keep them, and everyone's happy. So what happens is, at the end of the day, we end up with a relationship that in halacha is considered a partnership. There's a certain element of risk. If the borrower, if the recipient, if the manager brings witnesses or makes an oath, then the lender will have to share in the loss or at least not recover profits. But as a practical matter, this virtually never happens. It's almost unheard of for a person to successfully bring witnesses or to make an oath, and therefore 99.99, whatever exactly the number is, percent of the time, the borrower chooses to take the other option. He gives back the principal plus that pre-agreed upon amount, the interest, if you will, and everyone's happy. Now, what this means is that when a person's signing a heter iska, it's not just, as Rav Moshe says, an amulet document that you stick on your wall which magically avoids the issur of ribbis. It's a document that truly changes the nature of the relationship. You're not borrowing, it's not a loan, it's a partnership, you're managing the partnership, and there are real risks involved. They're minimal, again, it's virtually unheard of, but they're there, and they need to be there. Now, if that's the case, the place can speak out, the parties to an iska have to realize what they're doing. If they think it's a loan, and they're just scribbling on some Hebrew document that no one knows what it is, we have a problem. They have to realize it's no longer a loan. There's a partnership being created. Their rights and responsibilities are somewhat different, and they have to be aware of what they're doing. Now, another important issue is that typically, when a person signs a heter iska, you don't rely on the heter iska alone. You go to an attorney. You draft up a mortgage note, a promissory note, a guarantee, a pledge. You draft up legal documents to ensure that if the person defaults, you'll be able to foreclose, you'll be able to collect the money in court. Now, we have a problem. On one hand, you're signing a document, loan documents drafted by the attorney that say it's a loan, it says it's interest, it says no matter what, you've got to pay it back. Then you go ahead and you sign this heter iska, which says it's not a loan, it's a partnership, and your rights are different. We have a conflict. So it's important to make sure that either the loan documents that you sign reference to the heter iska, or the heter iska says that it overrides and supersedes any other documents. Now, you're allowed to write up loan documents. The reason for that is because in the event that the person refuses to pay, and he does not come to Bezdin, he's not prepared to make an oath or to bring witnesses. So you have the loan documents to protect you if the need arises to collect the money in secular court. However, the loan documents cannot override the iska. In the event that the borrower, the managing partner, is prepared to bring witnesses to verify what happened, to establish there's a loss, then the lender has a al pi halacha cannot foreclose and would have to respect the terms of the heter iska. Now, this leads to a bit of an unusual situation. I got a phone call a couple of years ago. A fellow said he was involved in a din Torah, the din Torah scheduled for tomorrow with an iska, and he asked me to look it over. I said, not a problem. He emailed me the documents. I looked at the documents. There was a $3 million transaction. The heter iska was the shortest heter iska I've seen in my life. It was literally four sentences with a very vague description of what was happening. It was filled out in such a hurry that the borrower and lender filled out the wrong blanks. Basically, the lender wrote that he received $3 million from the borrower. The interest rate, the amount that had to be paid, they wrote $1, which we'll get to what the dollar is. They totally filled out the form wrong. So my comment to him was, I asked him, how much did you spend on legal fees? He explained it was whatever the number was, $10,000. There was a stack of documents and pledges and guarantees. It was a fairly respectable amount of money. Al pi halacha, when you write a heter iska, what you're doing is you're overriding all the terms of the loan agreement. It's an iska. It's not a loan. If you want to consider this a loan, it's an issur ribbis. You can't take any profits. If you're doing that, you have to make sure the iska is filled out correctly. You have to make sure the parties understand the iska. And you have to make sure that iska is consistent with the terms of the loan deal. If the loan deal documents say that the rate is 6%, but if you're late or if you there's a default, the rate jumps up to 18%, and then the iska just says straight 6%, you're going to have a problem. Even if the person defaults and pays late, you can't collect more than the amount that it says on the iska. So it's important to either make sure that the iska reflects all the terms of the loan documents, or for somehow to include or incorporate into the heter iska the various conditions, contingencies. Again, it can be done. It's something which it's not difficult, but you need to be aware of it, and you need to be on top of it and speak to a rav before you get involved and before you actually sign the deal. Now, another point of the heter iska is everyone knows there's a dollar. Somehow, someone has to give a dollar. We don't know who gives who. A lot of confusion. And I'd like to just briefly explain what the background, what this dollar means. As we explained before, when you enter into an ISCA transaction, it's not a loan, it's a partnership. The borrower is in effect a manager. He's managing the investment on behalf of the lender, on behalf of the investor. Now, the Gemara points out that this itself, the fact that the manager is working for the investor for free, that itself is a problem of ribis. Again, for technical reasons, it's ribis d'rabbanan, we're not going to go into that. But the very fact that he's managing the investment without getting paid is problematic. Therefore, Chazal said, the manager has to receive some token payment for his work. And that's what the dollar is. The investor, the lender, gives the borrower a dollar. And for that, that's a token payment for his efforts managing the ISCA, managing the investment throughout the term. Now, this dollar should be paid. The lender should actually give it to the borrower. There are certain heter iskas, there are different forms that deal with the schar tircha in a different manner, in which case you don't have to pay the dollar. But if you're using a standard form that calls for this payment, it should be paid because it is required api halacha. Again, in closing, this is a very general outline, but it's important if you're going to be engaged in such transactions, if you're going to be borrowing, lending with heter iska, it's important to take a few moments, sit down. There are some wonderful books in Svarim on Hilchos Ribis. If that doesn't work for you, speak to your Rav. It's important to just have a basic fundamental understanding what it is that you're doing, how you're not lending, it's not borrowing, it's a fundamentally different transaction. And it makes all the difference. If you recognize what it is, if you understand it, then you'll be able to avoid many of the common pitfalls. The forms are very often filled out incorrectly. It's a problem both in halacha as far as Isser V'Heter. It also can be a problem as far as Chesh and Mishpat. If you are involved in a Din Torah and the Heter iska is filled out incorrectly, it will very likely be problematic. And therefore, again, it's extremely important to take the time to read through the iska, make sure you understand what it is. If you have any questions, speak to a Rav, speak to Moir HaRav, until you're comfortable with your understanding of the iska document. Thank you.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havad Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.